When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Incline Dodgers is brought to you by Tick Pick. If you're looking to go to Dodger Stadium and catch your Dodgers, make a stretch for this October run, then you're going to want to download the Tick Pick app today because there are no service fees at checkout. So if you want front row seats at Dodger Stadium and you're looking to avoid those fees and you want transparent pricing, then I highly recommend downloading the Tick Pick app. And it doesn't only have to be baseball. If you want to go see NFL or NBA coming up this season, or you just want to go to a concert like myself, TickPick has you covered. So like I said, download the TickPick app today and go watch your favorite team or your favorite band live.
Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
What's going on, Dodger fans? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. We are recording during the day as Clayton Kershaw is expected to make his 2024 debut in just about an hour. This is very exciting, obviously, for all us Dodger fans because Clayton Kershaw is a legend. So to have him be a part of this 2024 run as we go for a World Series wouldn't feel right without Clayton Kershaw involved. So this is Kevin Klein speaking. Jake Reiner's in the house, and we're really excited for Marcus Grant to make his Incline Dodgers debut for the 2024 season. You can listen to him on ESPN Los Angeles. He's on the Blue Review, which is Monday through Friday as well. Great show for all you Dodger fans, and he works for the NFL media as well. So Marcus, welcome aboard. How are you doing today?
Doing good. I mean, I'm feeling fine. I can't necessarily say anything about the Dodger roster. It feels like it's a little bit beat up right now, but I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Glad to have you on. Jake Reiner, I just want to get your thoughts on the Dodgers as of late. Where do you want to start?
I mean, the roster has really changed a lot. There's been a lot of injuries, a lot of kind of strange transactions, like the DFAing of Big Maple. He's gone. That was kind of shocking when I saw that, because you figure this Dodgers team is really short on starting pitching. They're having to call up all these rookies, and in order to make, you know, roster space, they had to get rid of James Paxton, which I thought was bizarre, given the fact that this guy, who's been injury prone his entire career, was actually pretty healthy for the team and pitching okay. Obviously, he wasn't going to be a part of this October plan, but they needed to make room. And I think, I don't know what I'm more excited for, Clayton Kershaw coming back or Johan Ramirez heading out, because I've just had it watching that guy come into games. That has just been an absolute abomination. And I know everyone likes to get on Dave Roberts' case about how often he uses him. I think Kevin, you said, or someone said, that he was the basically the equivalent of Torian Prince to Darvin Ham, was Johan Ramirez to Dave Roberts. I don't fault Dave Roberts for using him, because he's on the roster and they needed relievers, and the bullpen is so taxed. It's an old bullpen and they're overworked and overused. So you kind of had to use these guys, but I couldn't take much more of him. I mean, it was every time out, he was either giving up runs, walking guys, hitting batters, throwing the ball away, and in essence, throwing the game away. So I'm happy to see him go. I'm also happy to see Kershaw back and really chase another ring and also chase 3,000 strikeouts.
Yeah, we were pretty fed up with Johan Ramirez, and it got really ugly near the end. He's going to finish his Dodgers tenure with an 0-4 record, 5.52 ERA, and just very fitting the way he had that performance against the Giants last night. My God, between that Tiger series and last night, it was time to come to a close. So I don't think many Dodger fans are going to miss Johan Ramirez. To his credit, he was a rubber arm, and he was always available, but near the end, he was just constantly giving up runs. So it was time for a change. So he's been DFA'd. Ricky Venasco has been DFA'd. And like Jake mentioned, James Paxton has been DFA'd. So the Dodgers are making rapid cuts. But I do want to talk about Clayton Kershaw, and I want to get Marcus's thoughts on Kershaw. So what kind of role do you think Kershaw is going to have with the Dodgers for the rest of this going?
I think Kershaw is essentially just going to be an opener when it's his turn in the rotation, right? He's a guy that, you know, I'm curious to see what limits they have set for him for today's start. I would think maybe 60 to 75 pitches. I mean, if he gets you through four innings, I think you consider that a blessing. Ideally, I would like to see him at least get one turn through the lineup, through the Giants lineup, and then we'll see what happens from there. And I think that's really sort of the expectation for him. These next few starts are essentially his spring training after coming back from the surgery. Let's get him sort of back into shape, and then we'll see where he is once we get to the start of October and kind of figure out what his place in the rotation, if there is any, is going to be. But really, I think at this point, he's just a guy you're hoping you can get 3 to 4 solid innings out of, and then you turn the game over to the bullpen. So, It's definitely not the Kershaw we are used to seeing, the guy who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer for sure. This is sort of where he is at this point in his career. But if they can just get him as that opener, turn it over to the bullpen, and figure out how to get the rest of those 27 outs, I think that's kind of the best case scenario for them.
Do either of you think Clayton Kershaw will be starting playoff games for the Dodgers?
I think if it goes according to plan, he won't be.
Yeah.
I hope that they're able to add more starting pitching at the deadline so that Kershaw doesn't have to be relied upon again. That was what happened in the last postseason. Yeah. He obviously pitched well during the regular season. He spent some time on the IL, but there were no other options. And as much as I love Clayton Kershaw, him getting older is not going to be better for us in October because October is already a little bit of a struggle for Clayton. So him not being in his prime and pitching in October, I don't think it's a good recipe for success.
No, I agree. I mean, I think, you know, last year he pitched in October because they really didn't have any options. I mean, it was apparent late in the season that he was out of gas and was just kind of running on fumes, and that blow up in the playoffs, it just felt inevitable because they were asking him to be a guy that he just isn't anymore. So ideally, look, everything goes according to plan. Your starters in the playoffs, it's Tyler Glass now. It's a hopefully healthy Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And then it's, you know, provided they make a trade for a starter, it's, you know, whoever that is, right? If we're going to talk Garrett Crochet, we're going to talk Jack Flaherty, whatever, maybe one of those guys. And then if you need to, Gavin Stone. If he can stay strong through the rest of the season, he's another guy that you can get to be out there starting for you. If they're at a point where Clayton Kershaw is starting a playoff game, something's gone wrong for this team.
I think they need two starters. I don't know how confident they feel about Yamamoto coming back, but I don't trust it, especially with this Dodgers medical staff.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but what I do see in public is that our guys are just hurt all the time. Our starting rotation is always in shambles. At least the last 3-4 years, it's been that way. So I don't trust it. I want to bulk up on starting pitching, and I hope that they go out and get two starters.
I'll feel lucky if we get one starter with the way things are going. It's a tough market out there, and we'll talk about the Crochet stuff in a little bit on how there's a new nuance in that. But back with Kershaw, I'm on the same page as both you guys. I do not want to see Clayton Kershaw start in October. No disrespect to Kershaw, I just don't know where he's at in terms of his stuff, and in terms of what we saw in the last postseason, it was not a pretty sight. And obviously he was pitching hurt. He's supposedly healthy now. But like Marcus was saying, we are in basically spring training mode for Kershaw for the next 3 to 4 starts, and probably will only be pitching 3 to 5 innings as he works his way up. But Glasnow is obviously ahead of him. Yamamoto, if healthy, he's ahead of Kershaw. We've got Gavin Stone, hopefully a guy we trade for. And then we figure it out. Bobby Miller, Walker Buehler, who knows? River Ryan. We'll see what happens. But with Kershaw,
Miller or Buehler starting. Yeah,
at this point, I'm skeptical about, you know, I'm skeptical about Walker Buehler. Like, I don't know that he'll ever be that same guy again. And Bobby Miller, I don't know. I feel like what's going on with Miller is probably more between his ears than anything, you know, with his arm at this point. It's a question of whether or not he could figure that part out.
So the wrinkle in all this, what I was going to try to get at is, though, if Kershaw's not starting, I think he'd be even worse coming out of the bullpen. So do the Dodgers find themselves in a predicament where they have to leave him off the postseason roster altogether?
It may be the case. I mean, it is July 25th, so, you know, a lot can happen between now and then. We have to see how he does coming back, how long, how deep into games, like Marcus was talking about, how deep into games he can go, if at all. But yeah, I mean, 2019, the NLDS of 2019 is all I needed to see to solidify my opinion that Kershaw should never come out of the bullpen in the playoffs ever again. 2016 was great. He did a great job. But 2019, I was like, that's it. I've had it with that experiment.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I guess if there's a silver lining, it's that, you know, the last couple of years, the start of the season has been pretty good for him. And it's just he's faded late. So, I mean, if that logic holds, this is the start of his season. So maybe that bodes well for what to come in August and September. And then we get to the playoffs, and who knows? I'm kind of with you. I don't know that there's a spot on the playoff roster for him if they're not expecting him to be a starter and you can't bring him out of the bullpen. So this might just be sort of a ceremonial ride to the end, and hopefully you get him a ring. But, you know, I'm grasping at silver linings here. I'm just looking for something. And the fact that he seems to start strong and finish slowly, let's just hope that goes through and we can get through the last couple months.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, so here we are. The Dodgers are 61-42, 7.5 up on the San Diego Padres as we speak. Last night was an ugly loss, 8-3 to the Giants. Robbie Ray was making his 2024 debut, and they had him on the ropes in the first inning. They made him throw like 32 pitches or something. He had no command, and they had the bases loaded with one out, I believe, and then they couldn't capitalize. And then after that, Robbie Ray completely settled in and no-hit the Dodgers through five innings. Just kind of wanted to see your guys' takeaways on the Dodgers' approach in that game and if it was a one-off thing or just something to continue to be concerned about, as with the injuries, Miguel Rojas is on the IL and then Chris Taylor left the game hurt. Like, we're kind of at the bottom of the barrel here with our lineup.
It doesn't matter what iteration of the Dodgers currently exists. Robbie Ray will always own our franchise. Eric Lauer will always own our franchise. And let's add Dallas Keuchel to the mix, because it just seems like every random quote-unquote washed lefty comes in and carves us up. And Robbie Ray looked like a Cy Young Award winner like he used to be on the mound that night, minus the first inning, because they were able to push a run across and weren't able to do anything else. And then were no hit the rest of his, he no hit the entire team. And then basically Chris Taylor was the only one to get a hit. And then he, you know, comes up lame at second base. So it was a very frustrating game for the Dodgers. Also, another theme that keeps happening to Tyler Glasnow is that he doesn't get any run support for whatever reason. I don't know what that's about. But it was a very frustrating game to watch. However, the Dodgers coming out of the All-Star break have been on fire, and they've been great. And there have been a lot of comeback wins, which is really encouraging. Is, you know, dealing with a very, very vulnerable starting pitching staff, the offense has been able to climb this team back into games. And it's very clear that Ohtani, Teoscar Hernandez, Freddie Freeman, and Will Smith have band together and said, we're going to carry this damn team. We don't care how many injuries there are. And they've stepped up and kind of owned this winning streak that they've been on. They've cooled off in this Giants series, but today they have a chance to win the series and win each of the first couple series after the All-Star break, which was huge because they just barely, they limped into the All-Star break, and that was just awful to watch. And so for them to come out like this has been great.
Yeah, that last week going to the All-Star break was about as bad a week as you could imagine. Weirdly, the one game they win in Detroit was the game against Skubal. He shut them down when the bullpen comes in and the Dodgers figure out how to get some offense. You know, last night, I was sort of busy around the house. So I wasn't just like planted in front of the TV watching. I was kind of checking in. And my three takeaways were this. One, Glasnow goes out there and was struggling with his control. Had, I think, four walks last night. Sort of battled with that, but still only gave up the two runs. And when he left, they were still very much in position to win that game. So I thought that was kind of a positive. You hope that, you know, the command issues were just sort of a rust thing and he shakes that off in his next start. After sort of seeing them give up that big opportunity in the first inning, which I knew was going to be a problem, you know, watching, just keep checking in and like still no hits. Fifth inning, still no hits. Sixth inning, still no. Chris Taylor gets a double and I'm like, all right, I can exhale. Whatever happens, happens. At least they didn't get no hit by the Giants. I can take that away as a positive. The third positive is that they kept Tyler Fitzgerald in the ballpark, which seems to be like, you know, mission impossible the last week or so. So I kind of took that away from last night's game. I mean, I think really the bigger story was the losses within the loss. They were 5-0 coming out of the break. That wasn't going to last forever. But losing Chris Taylor, who is playing good defense over at third base and whose bat was starting to come around, that hurts, especially coming on the heels of Miguel Rojas going on the injured list and everything that he has brought to that team, especially since Mookie Betts went down with an injury. So that, those are two things that are really going to hurt and are really, really frustrating. I think everything else is sort of was what it was. It just was kind of a weird one-off game last night. You know, shout out to Robbie Ray for doing whatever he did and that sort of thing. The other part of it, you talked about Johan Ramirez. One, my dad texted me like when he came in, he's like, every time Ramirez comes in, I just get a sick feeling in my stomach. And I was like, yeah, I get that.
All feel your dad in that.
Right. He was so like, you're not alone, man. But they were sort of using him like they knew he had an expiration date. And they're like, we're just going to get every last drop. We're going to wring every last drop we can out of Johan Ramirez. Obviously, I think that expiration date hits today. There's only so much a Dave Roberts hug can do. So I guess, you know, thank you for your service. And you know, we'll see you down the road now.
Right. Yeah, so Miguel Rojas, we've talked about him being hurt. I'm concerned. I think this is going to be a longer-term injury than they're leading on to be. First, it was supposed to be just a few days. Now he's on the IL, and it's some type of forearm elbow injury. So that's never a good precursor as a shortstop. And on the flip side, with Rojas going out, we haven't mentioned his name yet, Nick Ahmed coming in for the Dodgers, and now he's their new shortstop. I'm going to be honest, I'm not too happy with this signing. I feel like this is the bottom of the dumpster barrel signing right here. I mean, anytime you get a San Francisco Giant reject, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a good move. And I understand that Nick Ahmed brings good defense to the Dodgers, which is something that they're going to need, especially at the shortstop position. But offensively, I'm not expecting much. And with this team already kind of spiraling down with the bottom of the order, a lot of inconsistencies, I would have rather have preferred them to call someone up from AAA and give them a shot, because this feels like Colton Wong all over again, putting some washed veteran over young guys that are hungry and more deserving.
Yeah, the bottom of this Dodgers order has been bad all season, and we just continue to add pieces that make it either worse or the same. You talk about Nick Ahmed, you talk about Kevin Biggio, you talk about, you know, Johan Ramirez, he's not a hitter, but you talk about guys that they've added to this roster that are just not helping this team. And that's why I can't wait for the trade deadline when we actually get some really decent major league talent on this roster, because right now this is bad, because Miguel Rojas going on the IL is not great. And if there's anything we know about this Dodgers medical staff, is that whatever they tell us today is not going to be the same story that they tell us in a few weeks' time when they tell us that Miguel Rojas's career is over. That is what we're dealing with here. And Rojas is the backup shortstop, right? Like, we've had injuries to Mookie Betts. We had to move Gavin Lux over, and Mookie Betts had to play shortstop, and that was a disaster. Then they bring in Rojas, who, kind of miracle of all miracles, is having a great offensive season, but he's an older shortstop, and that caught up with him. So now he's injured. He's out there. Chris Taylor, who was starting to hit and maybe get back into a groove of things, he's out now. They bring in Kevin Biggio. He can't hit. Gavin Lux has been struggling all season long. You just got so many different pieces to this roster that are essentially dead weight. And if you look at the lineup today for Clayton Kershaw's big return, is you've got Otani, Teoscar Hernandez, Freddie Freeman, which that's great, right? That's a great three. But then the rest of this lineup, Páez is batting fourth, Lux is batting fifth, Hayward's batting sixth, Kike Hernandez is batting seventh, Austin Barnes is batting eighth, and Nick Ahmed is batting ninth.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I mean, damn, I even commented on the Dodgers. I never comment on the Dodgers lineup, like, on their account, but I just had to, because it's just so laughable to me, because it's like, welcome back, Kershaw. I hope you don't like run support, because runs are going to come at a premium today. And oh, by the way, this lineup is facing Logan Webb. Yeah. So that's even worse. I know that we don't have the best players on this roster at the moment because of all the injuries, but man, do we have to play all these guys at once every Sunday, every getaway day? I mean, it's just crazy to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's rough too, especially because you mentioned Páez, who's just been in a massive slump lately. He seems to run really hot or cold, and he's extremely cold right now. The fact that you got Gavin Lux hitting in the fifth spot says a ton about what this lineup is going to be today. So, I mean, unless the guys at the top really get something going, it's hard to see a lot of offense coming from this Dodger lineup right now. I mean, you know, you hope you can get something out of Kike. Look, Austin Barnes has been serviceable for a guy who plays every, you know, once a week or whatever it is, but he's not a guy you're counting on.
He's got a hitting streak going on, though, doesn't he?
He's got like nine games or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is amazing, because it's probably like spread out over like 6 weeks or something like that.
Didn't he hit last night and got a hit?
He's like up to 270, which is not something I had on my bingo card.
Right, right. I mean, I'm looking at this lineup and I'm just like, I mean, that's kind of like, that's my whole commentary, just looking at this.
But I think, given all of this, right, like given all of the injuries and the bad lineups that they've thrown out there, the fact that they are as successful as they've been and have a giant lead in the NL West is huge. I mean, we talk about this team on this podcast like, you know, it's one of the worst teams in the league because the expectations are so high. But it's kind of amazing what this roster – if you look at it on paper, what they've been able to do this season. And nobody wants to give the Dodgers credit. Nobody wants to pity the Dodgers, obviously. Everyone who isn't a Dodgers fan hates this team, and for good reason, because they have a ton of money and they have a great farm system and a really great front office. But it is kind of remarkable what this team has been able to do with just some of the scrubs that they've run out there. I mean, well, it is unbelievable to me.
Yeah, well, I think some of it, though, like when you talk about, you know, I'm sure this pod, a lot of other shows, I mean, we talk about it on Blue Review. It's also because Dodger fans talk about the season with a lens toward October.
Absolutely.
You know, I think if this were a team that, you know, every other year it's dicey whether or not they make the playoffs, if they're just sort of battling for contention, this is a year that you're looking at, and this is phenomenal, right? They're 19 games over 500. They're 7.5 up in the division. If they were pretty much any other team, you'd be like, hey, man, things are going, like, yes, there's some bumps or some injuries, whatever. Things are going great. But because we're at a point now for the Dodgers where it is, I mean, it's not just playoffs or bust. I mean, it is World Series or bust. That's what all these things are. So it's like, yeah, sure, right now on July 25th, on paper, things are great, but if we're looking at this toward the end of September, there are a lot of things that need to be fixed. Like right now, this car is leaking oil, and it's gonna get us through September for sure. How far into October, though, I don't know. And I think that's sort of where, you know, I'm not ready to say that we're panicked. I don't think anybody's panicked, but there is certainly legitimate concern because there are holes that need to be patched right now.
No doubt about it. And speaking of holes, despite the thinness in the Dodgers rotation and the injuries, they did DFA James Paxton, as we mentioned earlier. But I want to talk about, they DFA Paxton, but now there's a report coming out today from Pete Abraham, who works for the Boston Globe, that the Dodgers are interested in a Rich Hill reunion, which to me, I do not understand the logic at all. Rich Hill is 44.
Jesus.
He's on the very back end of his career. I thought his career was over, to be honest, but apparently he's trying to do like a Roger Clemens or something and come in midway through the season to save a team. So I don't understand DFAing James Paxton. And then not only are they looking at Rich Hill, they signed Jordan Lyles to a minor league contract, maybe because the AAA rotation's thin, but nonetheless, he's terrible and has a career ERA over 5. And John Heyman passively, aggressively bashed him yesterday and then broke the news that he's coming to the Dodgers, ironically. And now they're looking at Rich Hill, who was great during his Dodgers tenure, but over the last 3 or 4 years has not been a very effective pitcher. So I don't know if they're just worried about not getting big names in the starting pitching market right now, or this is just noise and they're really not interested in Rich Hill and this is all being overblown.
I don't know. I
don't want the reunion.
I feel like this has been a theme though the last few weeks of like trying to get the band back together, you know, talking like maybe Kenley Jansen comes back and they're talking to the Cubs. Could there be a Cody Bellinger reunion? Yeah, I'm like, sure. Well, why don't we just, yeah, right? Like, why don't we get Justin Turner, go get Jock Peterson, we'll just get the band back together.
Actually, I would love Jock Peterson. He's been having a great year.
Plus, you know, here's the thing about Jock. Jock shows up when you need him to. Jock shows up in the playoffs. Like, when the lights come on, that's when he does his best. But I'm like, let's get the band back together. Let's go play in a bubble in Arlington and see if they can win another World Series. let's just do all that, right? Sure.
Rich Hill, you know how, like, I think we're all at the age at this point where, like, you hear about, you know, a Gen Z kid and you ask them when they were born and it's like, I was born in 2003. And you're just like, oh, God. Rich Hill's been around since 2005. That's 3 years before Kershaw made his debut. And this is year 17 for Kershaw. So Rich Hill's been around. And let's just have a look at this. Last year, he pitched for two teams, Pittsburgh and San Diego. He was a combined 8-14 for those two teams with a 5.41 ERA. And you mentioned that, how old did you say he was, Kevin?
44.
Right. So we think those numbers are going to improve him coming to the team? I don't know, man. I mean,
I'm just because you said the date, I'm like looking around. Rich Hill came into the league 1 year after Citizens Bank Park. The Phillies, the Phillies have been playing in their stadium 1 year longer.
Astros were still in the National League.
Yes, exactly. I mean, like, go back through all the things that, you know, happened. I'm sure Twitter.
LeBron James was his sophomore season.
Right. You know, like all the things that were going on when Rich Hill made his major league debut, like that will make us feel incredibly old. So maybe we don't.
All right. So let's shift gears now and actually talk trade deadline, where there's interesting names that the Dodgers are linked to. So we've been talking about Randy Arozarena at nauseum here. And over the last couple days, there's more and more reports that are being released that the Dodgers do have strong interest in Randy Arozarena. And there seems to be some fading momentum with the Luis Robert news. And for me, it seems like it's Randy Arozarena or bust at the outfield position. Marcus, want to get your thoughts. Are you a big Randy Arozarena guy?
I like him in the sense that he's another guy that sort of shows up. He seems to step up in the big moments in the playoffs. You know, I mean, everybody who watched the 2020 World Series remembers. I'm sure we were all, you know, quaking with fear every time he came to the plate because it's always seemed like there were men in scoring position or that he was going to do something special. Like, he was just a menace. And that has sort of been his MO throughout the playoffs. So that part of it I like. What I would prefer, you know, Robert Robert versus Arozarena, is I think Robert gives you a little bit more outfield flexibility. He can play in center field. He can play a couple different spots. I think Arozarena right now, pretty much just a corner outfielder, and for the most part, pretty much just a left fielder. So it doesn't give you as much positional flexibility. And, I mean, let's just be honest. Like, so far this season, his bat really has been non-existent. So I think that is maybe a concern, because part of making a trade, you know, outside of the pitching realm, is to add somebody you feel confident with at the bottom part of the lineup. And at least for right now, for, you know, August through late September, I don't know that he brings that. So that is my only caveat. I mean, if we're throwing out names, you know, I really would love to see them make a move, and I don't know that the Angels would ever do it because they're petty and spiteful, but whatever. You know, a guy like Taylor Ward, who gives you a lot of positional flexibility and who has shown that he can hit consistently. I know this year hasn't been great, but I sort of believe in what he can be and the fact that he can play some spots in the infield. He can play some spots in the outfield, because that's really what this team needs right now. I saw that they might be interested in Ian Happ for the Cubs and maybe a Nico Horner as well. A couple of guys who, again, can give you some positional flexibility and maybe provide that bat at the bottom of the lineup. I know everybody has been laser focused on Randy Arozarena, and it seems like that's where the team is going as well. I don't know, maybe kick the tires on some other things too, because, you know, with the Taylor news, with the Rojas news, suddenly you are even thinner than you thought you were going to be. At least you're thinner than you were a week ago. So maybe it's time to kind of change direction a little bit.
The good thing with Arozarena is he's been trending up. I know over his last 30 games, he's hitting about 300, and the home run pop is getting there as well. He just owned the Yankees in a most recent series. I actually prefer him over Robert because of the injury history. And you're right in terms of the center field flexibility. But I just think the haul with this whole, it's going to be a Juan Soto-like cost to get Luis Robert. I don't know if it's worth it, as opposed to Randy Arozarena. He plays every day. He shows up in October, like you both mentioned. And I just think this guy would thrive in Los Angeles and be an absolute stud. And unlike in Tampa Bay, where he's basically number one in the lineup, he's like number five or number six. And I think that just opens up so many avenues for him to thrive in less pressure. Obviously, they're competing for a World Series, but when the focus is on Otani, Freeman, Mookie when he comes back, and Smith, Arozarena and Teoscar are just going to feast in the middle of that lineup.
I mean, this is a podcast that we started talking about Arozarena in the offseason. And we were talking about wanting to get him. We've loved Randy Arozarena for the entire time he's had this meteoric rise in Major League Baseball. I've brought up this before, but Kevin and I watched him in the World Baseball Classic a few years ago in Arizona. And he, was it a few years ago or was it last year? I don't know. I can't keep track of time. It was, yeah. I think it was
2023.
Yeah. The way in which he responded to the big crowds and the way he interacted with the fans, signing autographs in the middle of innings and that sort of thing. I mean, this is kind of, in my opinion, Manny Wood 2.0. I think that you bring this guy to LA, people are going to fall in love with him, especially with the fact that he pitched. He played for Team Mexico. You've got a big Mexican fan base here in Los Angeles. I just think that it's just a recipe for success. And for someone like Randy Arozarena, who's kind of treading water, let's say, in Tampa Bay, this will be a huge fresh start for him. And I believe that he's going to play much better than his numbers have been so far this year.
I do wonder, I mean, with him being in Tampa, you know, will the Rays, who aren't going anywhere, be willing to give Andrew Friedman a little more of a, I use discount in air quotes, right? Because like, no, everybody, you know, when you have like, you know, the deepest pockets in the league, like nobody's really going to hand you a discount, but maybe the Rays won't, you know, be as inflationary, I guess, as other teams will because of their relationship with Andrew Friedman. I mean, I do love the idea of him being in that outfit. Look, you already got Teoscar, who's immediately become a fan favorite, right? Like, everybody loves Tio Teo. Put him out there with Randy Arozarena. It could be a lot of fun in the outfield. You know, you figure out who's going to play center, whether it's Páez or Outman or whomever. That really could be a fun outfield if they put that sort of thing together. So, you know, I'm not opposed to it. I very much am not opposed to it. I'm just curious to see what the asking price is going to be.
Now, we know that in the All-Star game, Teoscar Hernandez started in center field. Is that something that we think that he could do on this team if they were to move off of Andy Páez?
I guess he could. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to get to that point that has to become a thing.
My point is that even with adding a Randy Arozarena, we're still thin defensively.
Still trying to figure out center field. No, I get it. I mean, here's the thing about center field, right? Is that, you know, you get Outman, who can play a good defensive center field, but is kind of lost at the plate. Páez is a little bit, he gives you a little better bat when he's hitting, but is a little bit more of a circus out there in center field. So it's sort of like trying to figure out, it's six of one, half dozen of another. What do you need at the time? Or do you sort of, you know, platoon them, bring an Outman late for defensive purposes, and you know, have Páez hit for the first 7-8 innings and then bring an Outman? I mean, that might be a shuffle that Roberts has to think about.
We haven't brought him up, but I don't know how much Jason Hayward has left in the tank, but if they're desperate, they could try him out in center field. And you have I don't know how he would be worse than Páez at this point.
I mean, he's a great outfielder. He's just
36, 37. How old is Jason Hayward now?
He's just old. That's the problem. And again, 34. It's like, yeah, you know, just like Outman's bat can't get him in the lineup, it's like Hayward's bat hasn't been great either. So, you know, if you're going for strictly defense, I'd rather have James Outman out there.
Yeah.
Oof, not with the way he's swinging.
No, I'm saying
he can't hit anything.
So, but this also goes back to the what they can do in terms of adding bats to the bottom of the lineup, right? If you can find another bat, whether it's a corner infielder, it's a shortstop. I mean, Mookie coming back certainly helped. But if you can find a couple more bats that you feel confident with in the bottom of the lineup, you can sort of live with Outman not giving you a ton, but having his defense on one side. This lineup, as currently constructed, no, you can't have James Outman out there, right? But if you can get some more offense in there, you can sort of live with one kind of dead spot in your lineup if that dead spot is providing you a solid defense.
Exactly. It's sort of like I forget his first. I can't figure out his first name, but Rojas, the center fielder for the Phillies. It's like that, where it's like that guy's a good defensive outfielder. He can't really hit that well. But you look at the rest of the Phillies lineup, and it's a great lineup, and you can kind of hide him at the bottom and use him as sort of like a bunting specialist, if you will.
Yeah.
But like with the way that the lineup is right now, it's just there are too many automatic outs pretty much in that latter half, basically the second half of this lineup.
I don't know how good this guy plays in terms of center field, but we know he can play all around the base paths. Luis Renjifo is another name that I've been hearing that the Dodgers have serious interest in.
Yeah,
and he'd be a Swiss Army knife for this Dodgers team, another utility guy. So I don't know if he can play center field very well, but that's definitely a possibility. You stick him out there, plug him in at third, second, when you got a platoon and have off days for players. So I think that's the solution, is finding a Renjifo and then combining that with the star like the Arozarena, and I think you fix a lot of these Dodgers lineup issues.
Again, if the Angels were smart, if they were smartly run, they would look at just kind of selling off pieces and rebuilding their farm system and actually trying to reboot this whole thing. But they're petty and silly, and they don't want to deal with their neighbors up the road because, you know, reasons. But why not go to the team that down the street that has a deep farm system and needs help at the major league level, sell out? I mean, look, you let Shohei walk for nothing. And so now you're bitter and salty about that. Like, at least if you're going to have these other guys potentially leave, try to get something in return. But, you know, what do I know? I just talk about fake football for a living.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk some pitching now. And this was spontaneous, but I just saw that Dylan Cease threw a no-hitter complete game for the Padres. So great move for them, and second no-hitter now in Padres franchise history. Obviously, I don't want to see the Padres doing well, but figured I'd inform the listeners out there. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk that the Dodgers have Garrett Crochet at the top of their board in terms of starting pitchers they're looking to add. Earlier today, John Heyman tweeted out that Garrett Crochet plans to pitch a normal workload, but now if traded, he's demanding an extension in order to pitch in October, which to me is a very bold request.
Bro, you should be happy to get off the White Sox roster. What?
Yeah. You're not in a place of leverage here, pal.
Wow. That's wild.
Regardless, sorry to interrupt. Regardless, no, it doesn't change my mind. Give him the money, whatever. Make the trade. I am concerned about the innings, but the Dodgers are smart. There's a way to manage this workload till we get into October. So pay the man if we have to, like Glasnow, same thing.
I guess. I mean, the good news about Crochet is that he's still a younger player. You still have another couple years of team control for him, right, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So, obviously, if you're getting him, it's not a rental. So I don't think they would necessarily blush at signing him to an extension. I just think it's funny that he's trying to make that demand when – you're playing for maybe the worst team in the majors right now. Like, I don't think you have the standing to make demands here. But, you know, I definitely think it's worth it, especially if they can figure out how to work around the innings issue. They're sort of running up on that with Gavin Stone, too, where he is, if he hasn't already hit it, he will surpass his career high in innings. So a little bit of a concern, but young guy, that is still sort of developing, I think it's worth the risk.
To me, if you get Garrett Crochet and Nathan Eovaldi,
yes.
I would love Nathan Eovaldi.
Bring him home.
I bring him back home, and also an elite postseason pitcher. We know he can come through. I was at the game when the 18-inning World Series game that Muncy ended with a walk-off. I was at that game, and I watched Nathan Eovaldi carve up our team for 7 innings of relief. So, you know, he's ready for the moment. I think if they were to get Crochet and Eovaldi or Crochet and Flaherty, that would be ideal. Now, I know you're a big Skuball guy, Kevin, but that seems to be a ship that has sailed. I don't think the Tigers are wanting to give him up.
I've given up on that dream, but I don't think Eovaldi might happen either, because the Seattle Mariners, like always, have choked big time, and now the Texas Rangers are only 3 games out of first place. 3 games out of first place. So to sell at this point seems a little foolish, considering they just won the World Series last season. But speaking of Detroit, I'm highly interested in Jack Flaherty, and there are more reports out there now that this is a guy that the Dodgers are looking at. You can't argue with the numbers, exactly. Bring him home, ERA under 3, insane strikeout clip, throws hard again. So if they can get both Crochet and Flaherty, that'd be a home run. I don't expect it to happen, but I'll be happy with either or.
Yeah, Flaherty definitely feels more like kind of a rental situation just because of his age and his contract situation. But, I mean, right now, that's the goal, is just to build for this year and see what you can get. Obviously, a much more economical option in terms of what you would have to give up. I'm not surprised the Tigers are backing off of trading Skubal. I mean,
I was shocked that he was even available.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, hello. I know that the Guardians are having a great season right now, but every year the AL Central is kind of a toss-up. Why would you give up like a controllable ace in Skubal? It made no sense to me.
I think people were like, hey, look, the Tigers were out of contention. Who were their pieces? Like, you know, who do they have that's really, really good? I think that's really, you put A and B together and come up with C, but I'm with you. It never really made sense for Detroit.
Right. Were there any other names you guys wanted to throw out there? That's all I got in terms of current trade deadline news involving the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned Eovaldi because he was a name I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I think would be really, really interesting too. But, you know, but expanded playoffs, every team having more of a chance, I think that makes the trade deadline a little bit harder because there aren't as many sellers when you get to late July because a lot more teams feel like they still have a shot.
I also think that if you were to go get Crochet, let's say, and the Angels were a little intelligent and were willing to make a trade with the Dodgers, you could get Crochet and then go for like a package of Renifo and Tyler Anderson. I mean, I would take that too. As not necessarily a consolation, but there are so many different combinations of players out there that would really help this Dodgers team.
Yeah. All right. I got about 13 minutes, so I'm going to open up to the chat. If anyone had any great questions, feel free to drop them below for us, or if for Marcus, feel free to ask us whatever. So the last thing I wanted to cover real quick is obviously Teoscar Hernandez is having a phenomenal season. And when he destroyed Blake Snell the other night, that was enough for me to give this guy whatever contract he wants. Not that this was already like a question, but the fact that he's hitting .267 with an .820 OPS, 21 home runs, 67 RBIs. I don't think I've ever seen a position player for the Dodgers on basically a one-year rental contract have as big of an impact as Teoscar Hernandez has done in such a short tenure.
100%. No, he's been amazing. He's been everything and more that they could have wanted, right? And for a guy who was not talked about, obviously. They go out and they spend a ton to get Ohtani. They go out and they get Yamamoto. And then it's like, oh, by the way, they also signed Teoscar Hernandez. Right. I mean, you could make a case that he has kind of been the Dodgers' most valuable player for what was expected of him versus what he has actually provided them. I mean, he's been way above the value that they would have anticipated. And he's been a guy who's been really steady in the middle of that lineup. He's been a great bridge from the four at the top, you know, when you had Mookie healthy, the four at the top to, you know, whatever was happening at the bottom of the lineup. I mean, it gave you a solid five, even I guess six, way back in the olden days when Max Muncy was healthy. He's been amazing. And I signed him to an extension yesterday. Like, this should have happened already.
I agree. Like I've said before, he's said that he loves it here in LA, and to me, that's enough. What he's brought to this team in terms of his flair and the sunflower seeds thing and just how fired up he's been. I mean, not just the home run off of Snell, but he provided all of the offense that day.
All of them, yeah.
So I love this guy. I love this player. I think he should be a Dodger for the next 4 or 5 years, and they need to get it done. Before we get to that question, Kev, a little bit of breaking news. The Dodgers recalled James Outman and placed Chris Taylor on the injured list with a left groin strain, which we kind of anticipated, but yep, that is the move.
Yeah, we saw that coming, unfortunately. And Mason Miller is going on the injured list. He punched a table or something with his non-pitching hand. Broke a finger.
Why? I don't know.
Because he's on the athletic.
I get it, but I mean, like, I
do you get it? Because I mean, I don't get it.
I mean, I get, you know, being frustrated with having to deal with the A's organization.
Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah,
I got that part. No, Mason Miller was like a pie in the sky ideal, especially with Evan Phillips kind of struggling right now. But I think the A's understand what they have, and you know, knowing they're moving to Sacramento, they have to keep somebody that can possibly, you know, keep fans coming out there. So I think you would have had to give up literally a truckload of talent to get Mason Miller. Like, it would have been great. It just seemed really unrealistic.
Yeah. It would have been great to get like Mason Miller and like Brent Rooker.
Yeah, right? I mean, but that's pretty much all the A's have.
Yeah. That's it. AJ Bleday. Right. Well, thanks.
We'll just power through these real quick. Raymond Hernandez, when do you guys think Andrew Friedman will make trades?
Hopefully sooner than later. The clock's ticking.
The deadline is what?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
I think the first trade will happen before Monday. So Sunday at 11:59, we'll have our first trade. That's my guess. Okay, Carlos Gomez. Where's Mookie playing when he returns? I thought shortstop was a disaster. Sounds like he's going to play shortstop.
He's playing shortstop. Like, I mean, I think that's all there is to it. He's playing shortstop. I mean, the catching of the ball wasn't the issue. The throwing of the ball was sort of the issue.
I think I fear that that's going to happen, even though it makes zero sense and is stupid. But
well, I mean, remember, this wasn't supposed to be the plan. The plan was supposed to be second base, but Gavin Lux was a circus at short, just and so they had to kind of flip it.
You know, so back to the outfield or second base or just do something that makes sense. I mean, if you're not going to go out and get a shortstop, then put a guy at shortstop that can play the position, like Nick Ahmed. He's not going to hit, but like at least you got a good solid fielding shortstop. I hate it. I just hate it.
All right, this will be our last question of the show because I got to bounce in a few minutes. Michael Carrillo, what relievers are you looking at this trade deadline minus Tanner Scott because he believes Evan Phillips is shaky? I'm going to throw the name out there right now. I'm calling my shot. Michael Kopech will be a Los Angeles Dodger before the trade deadline.
Barf.
Oh, come on.
He's been bad this year.
He plays for the White Sox.
You can still get Mason Miller plays for the A's. Like you can still be good on a bad team.
If you look at Kopech's underlying numbers, he throws hard. He gets a lot of strikeouts. The walks is a little bit of an issue, but the Dodgers can fix that. He's got all the intangibles that I like. They can turn him around. This is like another Joe Kelly. Or Ryan Brazier project.
If we're grocery shopping down in Anaheim, I mean, there's Carlos Estevez.
That's my guy. That's old what Char- I was
old,
gonna say.
Old Charlie Sheen, Carlos Estevez.
Old Charlie Sheen. Yeah, get Rick Vaughn on this team.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Marcus Grant, you're the guest today, so I'm going to give you the final word. If there was anything you wanted to discuss real quick before we close this out.
Look, I think in the short term. No reason to certainly panic. I think we all sort of live and die with the ups and downs of this team. You know, when things are going great, we're on top of the world. When things are going bad, like last night, we certainly panic. But I would just say, take a deep breath, woosah, and let's just sort of enjoy this ride from now until October. I mean, once we get to October, everybody buckle up because we kind of know how this goes. But for now, let's just try to enjoy what we have and enjoy watching this team play. Because at their best, they really are a fun team to watch. So let's just kind of, try to, as much as possible, take deep breaths and mellow out.
All right, Marcus, thank you for joining us today. You can catch him on ESPN Los Angeles 710 and the Blue Review. Make sure if you're on the audio feed, hit that like button, subscribe, leave us a review. Same with YouTube. Drop a comment below who you want for the Dodgers to acquire at the trade deadline. This is Kevin Klein signing out for all of us. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Inclined Dodgers podcast. We got another fun episode lined up in just a couple days talking more trade deadline. But
at Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.